of the transcript, this will be the CCNSO members meeting day 2.
Okay, welcome back everybody. The next session is the CCTLD news session, for which apparently I wasn't going to chair, but now we seem to have lost the person who was going to chair. So I'll do my best. And first up we have Lisa from .dk with the wonderful title of Less is More. Over to you, Lisa.
Thank you, and thank you for letting me be the first presenter. I have to rush up to the ATRNT meeting as a member. I don't know what I did wrong here. Why do I make this slides again? Well, I'm the CEO of DIFO, Danish Internet Forum, and DK Hostmaster, that's a registry of .dk. DIFO, that's a non-profit organization, it's a foundation, and it represents the internet community in Denmark. It has, as a member, you have to be an association, and you can represent the private users, the professional users, or the providers. And it's absolutely free to be a member of DIFO. We're the sole owner of the registry, DK Hostmaster. And DK Hostmaster is a private company. It's founded in 99. It's a cost-neutral enterprise. We're a sole registry. That means that we have the contact ourselves with the registrars. We have more than 500,000 unique customers and a lot of, 1.2 million domain names. That's quite good for a population of 5.5 million people. And everyone is allowed to buy a .dk domain name. Well, but domain names in Denmark are not. They are regulated by the Danish Domain Name Act, and that means that it has to be put out to a tender every 6 years. We have an option of prolonging 2 times, 2 years, but you need to go into a tender. And, well, in 2009, we had the first authorization to administer .dk. And, in 2015, we need to decide, can we have it extended or is there going to be a tender? The principles of the Domain Name Act are... the registry has to be non-profit, and we're not allowed to have any other businesses. It has to be a transparent, accountable, and non-discriminatory administration. But it's self-regulation. Now that means that the rules applying to .dk domain names are made by the registry, so we make the terms and conditions ourselves. And, well, the registry has to pay for the domain name complaint board. That's our UDRP. And, we pay a lot of money for this, and it's very cheap to file in a complaint. So that's one of the, heavy burdens. But it's good because when you have an open registration and we don't do any check of the domain names, it has to be easy to file in a complaint. Well, the Act has to be revised, and that's because it was entered into force in 2005. But according to the notes to the Act, they had to do the revision no later than 2014. That's a year before our permit is running out. But the authorities, the businesses authorities who are who are overlooking Devo, made the decision to do it this year because there's no authority in Denmark to decide on new GTLDs, so they want to have this done quickly. If anyone applies for a GTLD that's related to Denmark, like .Copenhagen or .CPH, there would be no authority in Denmark to say we support this or we don't support it, so that would be a problem. So that's why they did it this year. The new Act will only comply to new tenders, so it's not going to have an effect on our permission, but only on the coming. Well, we have had a lot of meetings, and there has been a lot of discussions with the business authorities and the internet community as a whole. They've had 5 meetings where we have been discussing what to do about the model. But actually, there's not really been that many changes suggested by anyone. We expect that the Act is going to be sent in public consultation in May or June, and they want to have it decided in this fall or the next winter, early 2014. But a major change that's going to have an effect on us is that they're going to use an increased use of executive orders to... For example, that new TLDs, that's not been decided how they will apply rules for those or how they will do the process about making a letter of support or a non-support. So we don't know how that's going to be, and the tender is also going to be in an executive order. And well. The question is, like my title was, will this imply less regulation? Well, probably not, because what we think is that, or what that this will mean is that a lot of the rules that were in the law now will be taken out and put into executive orders. Of course, this is still going to be sent in a hearing or for public consultation, but that will mean that the Act will not show us what the future will bring, because the Act will only show that we will have executive orders on a new tender and an executive order on new TLDs, but we don't know how it's going to look. So we'll have a second and third round of of work of trying to affect what's going on according to regulation of Danish domain names. So, what we think is status quo in the in the act is, well, warehouse is still going to be banned by law. We still have to be a nonprofit, and we won't have any possibilities to carry out other activities beside the administration of .dk. The administration is going to be put out for a public tender. And, well, yeah, the principle of self-regulation is still going to be unchanged. But so what my ending of this is no, less is more. We do have a lot more of regulation coming, and we do have a lot more of uncertainty coming to Denmark because they put it into executive orders. But for the GTLDs, I'm not that worried. I think that makes sense because we haven't seen the first round of new GTLDs, and when we've seen this and seen how ICANN is doing with them, it's okay to wait and then try to form regulation in Denmark according to how the reality is going to be. But apart from that, we are a bit worried. And any questions?
You've made us worried too. Questions for Lise? I have Annabeth first, and then at the back.
Thank you, Lisa. Interesting. As you know, in Norway, we only have it on a lower level. So we don't have an act. We have it all on the executive order now, but it's one quite big one. So we know what's in it. So what you are saying is that removing things from the act, and they are taking it out, I understood it right, and then instead they give the power to make an executive order when they want to do it. So you don't know what you are expecting, actually.
That's right. But you still have to have a public consultation, but you take the power. Well, the decision is moved from the government.
Parliament?
From the parliament to the ministry, because an executive order is made by the ministry.
I see. Thank you.
Okay. And at the back.
Hi, I'm Ivona from .bl. I've got a question about domain name complaint board you mentioned about. Who are the members of this board, and how many of them are, and is there any appeal procedure, and how much does it cost actually?
Well, there are five members of the board. There's a judge and two experts, and then you have an expert in consumer relations and one in industry relations or issues. And it costs 150 kroner and 500 for 150 for private and 500 for companies. But I could I can tell you more about this afterwards, but because it's a long story if I have to start. But 150 kroner, it's like it's 20 euros for private and 70 euros for companies.
Okay, Mathieu.
Thank you, Lisa. Great presentation. And as you know, I was expecting this because we are competing for more heavily regulated registry in Europe. I'm pleased to see we are well ahead of you.
You're not alone.
I wanted to ask you, what kind of additional regulations are you actually expecting with this new act? Is it about registrar relations, new policies? What exactly are you...
No, well, the reason for having the revision was that they wanted to make the act more streamlined, and they wanted to see if it had complied with what the meaning about the whole act was. Was it working or not? And I think they found that a lot of the principles they put in the law they liked, so they stay within the law. But the issue about tender is they want to put more about tender. There's a bit about the tender in the law now, but they'll take most of it out of it and put into executive orders, and the same about the new TLDs. So there's not going to be anything about the registrars, because that's a part of the self-regulation. So we're not regulated according to how the business model of the registry is, apart from it has to be non-profit, transparent, and accountable.
Okay, anyone else? If not, let's release Lisa to go off to ATRT. And thank you very much for your presentation. Well done. Okay, and next up we have Hong Binchu on the leading force of the Chinese domain name market. Thank you.
Good morning, dear colleagues. My name is Hong Binchu. I'm the senior international strategist from CINIC. I think you already get a lot of awareness about CINIC in the recent days, so I don't want to introduce much about CINIC, so let's just jump into the topic. Today, I feel so grateful to have this opportunity to share with the CCNSO members to introduce you some of our recent observations in the Chinese in the domain name market in China, and also the trends of the internet industry growth. And I will try to explain the dramatic surge of .cn domain name count in 2012. And share some of our experience of how to drive the development of the domestic market in the future. These topics I was about to share with the central members about on these topics, but my flight delayed, so I just give this presentation in CCNSO meeting. This one. Okay, thank you. First of all, I would like to introduce you some of the current development of Chinese internet industry. As you know, China has the world's largest internet population, which amounts to 580 million in 2012, more than 40% of the total population. Now the broadband penetration has passed 98%. But still, one half of the population does not have the access to internet, and the internet growth rate has been slower down recently. Therefore, how to drive the continuous development of the local internet market on the demand side is still a very challenging problem ahead of us. The state have taken continuous efforts to promote the prosperity of the local internet economy, including implementing a strategy of promoting IPv6 adoption and fiber broadband penetration. This will also bring us a lot of opportunities with regard to the domain name industry. And there are some promising statistics. The domain name count in China has increased by 73.1% in the last year, and the website count has increased by 60.8%. The IPv6 address has increased by 33.4%. Comparing with the 3 years before, the statistics of website count in the last 3 years has shown a recovery from the economic slump in the end of the last decade. And web page count has shown continuous growth, also a little bit slowed down recently. This statistic has shown that the internet application in China has been growing fast, which brings us considerable opportunities for our domain name industry. Now let's see the statistics of last year. Actually, how to capture the opportunities in the domain name market in China and achieve sustainable growth is a big question ahead of us. In total, there are 13 million domain names registered in China in 2012, with a huge market potential. but the local market is very competitive, especially with the CCTLDs, especially between the CCTLDs and GTLDs. It is very interesting that in the last year, the localized domain names, including .ca and .zhongguo, has once again retained its popularity. And for the second time, .ca has surpassed the count of .com in China to be the leading TLD in the domestic market. How does .ca achieve this fast growth rate? And this is what I'm going to share with you. Before I explain the search, I would like to give a brief historical background of the .cn domain name count change. As a matter of fact, we used to have a lot more domain name count in 2007 to 2009 as a result of the active local campaign. However, at that time, the lower document requirement for registered .cn names has made our domain names very popular among spammers and phishers, particularly in the way of throwaway domain names for malicious practices. As a matter of fact, we are a regulation-rich TLD also for promoting, I think it's for promoting the public interest. In order to maintain the consumer trust, we have launched a project of fighting domain name abuse. In this process, our domain name count dropped down considerably, while the resolution volume remains to be the same, and the WHOIS data accuracy surged to 99 plus. Now the count is recovering after 2011. And the TLD enjoys a safer reputation with the highest WHOIS accuracy level among all other TLDs, which has also helped us to recover to a certain extent, especially for the purpose of higher security requirements. Besides, if you can look our .cn domain name count figure for the last years, there were two important moments in May and September. In each period, we have a steady surge in the growth rate. What happened? In fact, the story of May is a result of our policy change to allow individuals to register the .cn. Historically, we did not allow individuals to do that because we do not have fully developed adaptive mechanism to protect the personal data and track the abusive domain name registration. This is why the spammers and phishing websites are so popular in .cn. Now, thanks to our policy and the technology update, we have already made a step forward on that, which gives us a lot more confidence to involve the individuals in our registering group. As you can see, the policy change in May also combined with a solid solution in the private data protection. And our surge in June is even more dramatic, which results from the strategic innovation. We cooperate with the local application provider. As I said before, the internet application has been a main driving force for the local internet development. Tencent, the largest social network company in China, certainly has shown the power of internet applications in driving the industry growth. As Scenic becomes more and more vibrant and secure, we start to cooperate with such large application providers. Allow me to introduce more about Tencent. It has provided one largest instant messaging service called QQ with 721 million active users, and also Qzone with 552 million users. Our strategic cooperation with Tencent tried to combine the value of internet application and the value of .cn names together and create some unique applications of the domain names. as you can see, the format of the account ID of the application added with .cn. This format generates the customized domain name for individualized application. According to such idea, Tencent has registered most available 5-digit and 6-digit number of .cn names in the last September, which brings us a huge domain name search. In addition, Tencent utilized these domain names to provide a new unique individual access protocol portal for the end users. The Tencent domain name campaign have indeed resulted in a new fashion of locking number domain names and leverage the continuous growth in the domain name search of the CN. This is a good example of how we utilize the network effect of a big internet application and create a better opportunity of growth. But I want to mention that fundamentally, this new method of promoting registration is based on our solid technical basis. And CNIIC, as one of the important stakeholders of the Chinese internet ecosystem, has been continuously working hard to promote the development of local industry. Now I want to introduce some of the recent change of CNIIC. After system and infrastructure update in the past 3 years, we have 3 data centers in the country and over 2,000 servers. And the location of domain name servers have a continuous growing. Now we have 30 AnyCost nodes spread all over the world, and we are still constructing more for the plan of 50 in 2014. We have also made a great step for research of Chinese IDNs and including the Chinese IDN emails. 3 core standards of Chinese IDN application also by us have been approved by IETF in the past years. We have also been testing DNSSEC in 2010 and preparing to start signing in June this year. A comprehensive anti-attack system has also been constructed by CNIIC, which also brings us a more reliability of DNS operation in China. And we are now constructing a new basis of anti-attacking system, we have also constructed a new basis of a new GTLD operation platform, which can meet the global environment. These are all our recent movement for driving the low development of .cn and more industry growth in China. It is the efforts which allow us to make further cooperation with various stakeholders to make a more concrete step forward and more innovative strategies for the new application of .cn names. And we are now sincerely looking forward to more in-depth cooperation with all CCNSO members in terms of universal acceptance of IDNs, DNS name servers sharing, and new GTLDs. We also offer technical training program for the developing countries. If you are interested by these cooperation opportunities, you are kindly invited to join us in our technical cooperation workshop tomorrow from 10 to 12 a.m. in Function Room 5BC. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Can I ask for any comments or questions, please?
Hello. I'm just very curious. I would like to hear something about when you deleted the big portion of the DNS zone, how did the customers, did you hear from them?
Yes, we hear from them because we also hear from them from the end users. Actually, the data of spamming and the phishing declined significantly. So there is a positive feedback from the end users. And for the restaurants, I think the major part of the restaurants understand this kind of initiatives. So the feedback is kind of a balance, I think that.
And Peter?
Thanks, Hongbin. I found it fascinating what you told me about the mechanisms that some of the large social networks and messenger services use, like Tencent. Have they applied for a new GTLD?
Yeah, they also apply for a new GTLD.
And is there a concern that that would affect your growth in the long term, or do you see that move in parallel?
They are moving in parallel because their new GTLD is a major targeting for serving their messenger services. And our .cn name is a major, mainly targeting for serving the Qzone service. Qzone service is the kind of a social network, web-based social networking services. And they also applied for .weibo. This is a new services in Tencent. I think this is a kind of different kind of products, so they just working in parallel.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Nigel?
Excuse me. Something wrong with my voice today, I wonder why. You mentioned that you had special... here. You mentioned that you had special conditions about what happens if a registrar leaves being a registrar, about protecting the database, the privacy. Would it be possible to see? Do you have anything in English that could be I could see? We'd like to copy you.
Sorry, I don't understand your question. Can you elaborate?
And one of the points that you mentioned in your presentation was that you have a special protection for privacy in the case that a registrar stops being a registrar. About how the transmission and storage of the personal data.
Yeah.
Do you have that in English?
Yeah, I have that in
English. I'd like to see it. If that's possible, we can talk.
Okay.
I'd like to copy.
Maybe you can talk offline on that one. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Can I just say thank you for that and note the milestone that we are in Beijing and we have such a wonderful presentation from CNNIC, and the developments in CNNIC are absolutely huge and of great interest to colleagues. So thank you very much for sharing those. Okay, so next up we have, I think, a first visit presentation from Alejandra on developments in Guatemala. So welcome, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Before I start my presentation, I'm going to ask Gabby if she would be so kind to give out a little gift I brought to you so you can take a piece of Guatemala with you. And I'll start first by talking a little bit about Guatemala. So where is .gt? We have the American continent, and there it is. Okay, I'm zooming in. It's just below Mexico. We have the Central American region, and there it is. .gt is in Guatemala City, and next it's a little picture so you can see how the city looks like by night. I know I have a few minutes, so I'm going to give you a brief view of Guatemala in a minute or less. So this is our national flower, it's an orchid. This is our national tree, and that one in particular, it's 400 years old. This is our national bird, and also inspired the latest version of Ubuntu. And this one goes into a coat of arms that goes into our flag. That it's the name also of our currency. We manage quetzales. We have beautiful places like Lake Atitlan. We have volcanoes. This is pretty active. Famous cities like Antigua Guatemala with lots of traditions. We have many handicrafts, some sweets and ceramics and how do you say this? Textiles. Thank you very much. We also are known for our coffee and our chocolate. And so you know, Raúl Rodas from Guatemala was crowned the 2012 World Barista Champion in Vienna. We also have the Mayans. You've heard of them. Like this. The 13 Baktun in December 21st, it was supposed to be the end of the world. But we take it most likely like the beginning of a new era. Okay, now it's time for a reality check so I can put you into context of who we are and how the population of Guatemala is. Our population is 14 million people, and that's the graph of men and women. If you notice, the majority of our population is under 30 years old. We have a very young population, and 40% of the population is under 15 years old. Only 4% is over 65 years old, so we have a really, really young population. Of this population, 40% are indigenous people. That means they most likely won't speak Spanish. They will speak their own dialects. The rural population is more than half. The literacy rate is low, it's 70% approximately. And according to the ITU, individuals using internet are approximately 12% of the population. Also, half of the domain names of Guatemalan domain names use our ccTLD. I mean, there are Guatemalan websites that use generics, and approximately half of them are with us. So, now back to business. We released the second level domain names last year, and the main motivation was that client wanted shorter domain names. That was it. So, we prepared for that, adding a lot of information on our website, procedures, policies, frequently asked questions. We did a lot of advertising. We emailed our subscribers multiple times beforehand. We had some advertising in newspapers, in radio, or in social media. We also had some meetings with our credit card handlers since we learned just a few weeks before we were launching this that we had a monthly upper limit. And that was a concern since we expected a lot of transactions to be made the day we released them, so we had to talk to them and ask them for more limit. We had to develop some administrative system tools and the respective technical configurations. Our fees, before the second level domain names, we only had third level domain names, and we have two fees. For residents, it's $20 the year, and for foreigners, $30 the year. And the second level domain names are just double. There's an initial payment of 2 years. That's all it is. There's no additional fee. We modified our syntax rules. We added the international characters for Spanish just because since we were doing some changes, we decided to add the IDNs as well. And those are our syntax rules. And how we did it, we had a sunrise period. In this sunrise period lasted 2 weeks. This was announced in advance to all our subscribers with the objective of protecting them from other ones getting their domain names in second level domain names. And we had an interesting .com behavior. That's our most bigger third level set. In 2010, this is the behavior of the new domain names per month. It's pretty much stable. The next year, we had an increase, but still stable. And when we announced the sunrise period and that we were open second-level domain names, we had huge spikes. If you noticed, here in February, before the sunrise, we had an increase in .com.gt, and in March also. And that is because, 77 of those domain names ended up gaining their second-level domain name in Sunrise period, because the only restriction was that you must have a third-level domain name to be a participant of the Sunrise period. We didn't care when you got it. So they went ahead of time and had their third-level domain name and then the second-level domain name. In Sunrise period, it could be reserved the second-level domain name identical to the one in the third level, the IDN corresponding to the currently registered one, or both. As an example, if the holder of pinacolada.com.gt, he could ask for pinacolada.gt, pinacolada.com.gt, or pinacolada.gt. The three or one of them. After Sunrise period, we had the revision period of 6 weeks. This was done manually. We had two assistants that use a ticket system to handle and document all Sunrise requests. When a request was approved, an email was sent to the holder of the domain name and reserve in the system for 30 days. So they have 30 days to pay the second-level domain name to acquire it. And we had a non-first-come, first-served policy, because what happens in this case? Two different holders could both ask for pinacolada.gt. Let's say pinacolada.com.gt and pinacolada.net.gt. So who do we give it the second-level domain name? And we decided that it will be to the oldest registered name. We will give the second-level domain name. To give you some numbers, before Sunrise, we had 10,000 domain names. And during Sunrise, approximately 600 domain names were reserved. Only 71% of them were paid. The others lose their reservation. 30 days passed, and they didn't pay them. We released to the public in by the end of May, and on our first day we have 383 domain names reserved, and 59% of them were paid that day. And this is how the new domain names chart looks like when we compare with .com.gt and only .gt. This point was only in 3 days, in the lapse of 29th of May and the 31st. And in June, the rest of the month, we had the second spike. Some interesting facts. Before Sunrise, I've told you we had 10,000 domain names. And up to date, we have 13,000 domain names. We do have a due date, an expiration date on our domain names. So this is counting those that are deleted from our system. If they reach that date, they are deleted. This granted us the third place in the Latin American and Caribbean region in growth rate percentage last year. We also had to make some changes. We had to change our reservation policy from 30 days to 4, because we had some issues with cyber squatters that were only reserving the domain name so no one could have them. And that changed our policy so that an organization cannot research a domain name two times consecutively. We also had some legal issues. There's domain names dominios.com.gt and dominios.gt that translate to domains.gt and domains.com.gt. They were trying to represent us. They were trying to sell domain names as us. And we are having legal issues with them as an administrative process. And also the domain name Gallo.gt. Gallo is the name of our most best-selling beer. And they went into a judicial process. And they settled it out of court. More interesting facts. By the IDNs were not so popular. To date, we have 35 domain names registered. 18 of those were registered during Sunrise, and 19 of them are second-level domain names. We had some issues with those domain names since our subscribers were not aware that the users must change the settings of their browser so they can see the IDN in Spanish and not the XN hyphen hyphen, etc. And we had an issue with Firefox since we didn't know their policy that we should request them to include us in their IDN lists. So when we were aware of this, we sent the request in September, and it was resolved in November. And they said that they will include us by their version 19 that was released recently in February. So we had a little delay in that. This was brought by a customer that was really upset that the domain name didn't appear just the first time as he was expecting it. It was a design website, so he was really, really upset. And he ended up changing it. He went back to non-IDN domain name. The lessons we learn is that we should do more informative advertising. Some domain name holders learned the hard way why Sunrise was important. Even though we sent lots of emails and we announced it by many media, some of our holders just didn't care enough. And cyber squatters got their domain names, and then they were in trouble. And they were... We had so many requests from lawyers at the office asking, when did you say this, and who do you send this to? And in some companies, we sent this information to 15 different people, and none of them did anything. So we need also to find a better media for our targeted audience, since some of the radio stations picked were for younger audiences rather than CEOs or managers. And people were complaining a little bit about the Sunrise times. 2 weeks was not enough for them, so they told us that they would have liked more time. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Alejandra. Questions? Comments? Annabeth?
Thank you, Alejandra. That was really interesting. I would like to ask you, do you have a quota, or could the applicants apply for as many domain names they want? You said that consecutively you couldn't ask for the same, but...
Yeah, this is to prevent, like, holding the domain name, like I'm just reserving it without paying it and not letting anyone else to have it.
Yeah, so it's...
But we don't have a quota. Anyone can have as many domain names as, as they like.
Hi, Alejandra. Congratulations on the project. It looked amazing.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you your experience with the IDN and Spanish. How was the experience, and how has... The market continue to buy domains using accents in Spanish, et cetera?
Well, our case is a little sad since we only got one new domain name this year only. So it's not that popular. I think maybe it's because email, it's not well, it's not doing well with IDNs, and so they don't think that just the website it's enough. So the domain names we have registered are only for trademark reasons, so no one can have them, but they are not using them.
Okay, mm-hmm. Oscar?
Patricio Poblete from NIC Chile. We have had IDN for quite some time now, and it's never been too popular. Right now, the IDN domain names are about 1% of the total number of registered domains, and we can also confirm that the lack of support in email has been a source of sometimes great disappointment from some of our users.
I noticed Leonid was nodding, so I think this might be a Russian issue as well. Oscar?
Yes, what's the model price for GT and .com.gt?
For .com.gt, it's for locals, $20 per year, and for foreigners, $30 per year. And .gt only, it's twice, like 40 and 60 per year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else?
Hello, Marta Diaz from .pt. I wanted to know if the rules that you apply for the registration and the .com.gt are the same that you apply for the .gt.
The rules?
Yes. The requirements?
Ah, yeah, they are exactly the same.
Exactly the same, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Can we just say well done for getting a volcano in a presentation? I think that's a first for the CCNSO, but an incredibly helpful and informative presentation, Alejandra. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Okay, so next up we have a combination. I think this is also a first. We have Stephen and Nigel talking about small registry cooperation.
No, good, okay. This is a quick presentation on small registry cooperation. I had a need for some help, and Nigel was in a position to offer that help, and this is where we went with it. The basic problem was that AS needed to migrate to a industry-compliant registry, modern registry platform, and we needed to be EPP compliant. Our existing registry solution date back to the last century with very little updating along the way, and it's based on creaky technology. Old Sun systems, to be specific, well housed in a proper data center, et cetera, et cetera, but also reflecting the old model of actual physical hardware in racks that you either owned or leased, as opposed to the current model of everything going to the quote cloud unquote. We had a number of issues with registry data that developed over the course of the years. We had one reseller that partially reverse engineered the website so they could do automated registrations and renewals, and they had discovered the capability of inserting character sets in their contact details that were not a member of any known character set. And we also had an issue with the way Oracle, which was our database at the time, handling UTF-8 in one of their initial implementations that we were running on. We also had an issue with a lot of malformed contact postal addresses, and we felt that we needed to clean these up because we felt we needed to have accurate contact data for these guys. So the solution was, after some discussion with Nigel over the course of a few ICANN meetings, to collaborate with Dots, with Channel Isles, Nigel's registry operator, to bring into the mix some expertise on COCA operations. COCA at that point when we first started looking at it was rather obtuse in its installation and the middleware tools that it used and so on and so forth. Nigel also brought to the table some extensive contact address rationalization capabilities because he, like I, was of the opinion that accurately formed postal addresses for contact details is important, and to this end he spent a considerable time and effort developing tools for his own use which were directly applicable to my data issues as well. He also brought to the table a suite of active accredited registrars. And when we first got together to talk about this, one of the things we looked at was what we could get out of his collection of registrars for me and what he could get out of my collection of registrars for him, and we'll get to that. We brought to the table the need for an EPP-based, industry-compliant, state-of-the-art registry solution. We really needed to replace what we had. We also, as I mentioned, had considerable data cleanup efforts. A lot of what was going on was a manual process by yours truly, and it extended over a several-year period, and there was still a long ways to go on some aspects of it. And we, as I said, brought to the table our own suite of active registrars, which we termed as resellers because we weren't informally under a registrar agreement. And when we got together and looked at the respective list of registrars, one of the things we discovered and surprised us both was that we had very little intersection of registrars. And this then led to the thought, well, we are in a position to expose our registrars to each other's TLDs. The current status of the migration of the AS Registry to COCA platform is that the data has been migrated and cleaned up. AS registrars are actively migrating. There were a number of resellers in the legacy system that basically were trying to do as little business with us as possible because of having to use the website. It just wasn't worth their effort. And they were on record as, well, when you get to EPP, give us a ring and we'll go back to doing business with you. And they are now coming on board as well. We combined the registrar pools and did a very simple, transparent cross-accreditation between Nigel's accredited registrars for GG and JE and my accredited registrars for AS, and that seems to be working out very well. And the benefits of this effort to date have been that AS has been migrated, and it lets me sleep better at night. We have definite growth opportunities with the registry now that we're EPP compliant. As I said, we got resellers that are now becoming registrars again and are showing some interest in aggressive marketing of the TLD to their customers and so on and so forth. Nigel and I are both of the opinion that we have opportunities available to both registries by the combining of the registrar registrars, and I'm seeing that on my side, and I believe you're seeing some evidence of that on your side as well. And we have managed economies of scale with respect to the sharing of the hardware, the software, and programming expertise. By dropping AS onto Nigel's platform, we added a considerable increase of domains and contacts, and as a test of his resiliency, there's been absolutely no change in terms of response times and so on and so forth with the addition of AS on his platform. And that's it.
Can't believe Nigel's silent.
As I said, for some reason my voice isn't working too well today.
He had too much fun at music night.
Sorry, you floored me completely. I was expecting you to come in and say something. I do apologize. Okay, any questions or comments, please? No? I think we're speechless. But thank you very much. Great example of cooperation and mutual benefit. Thank you very much, both of you. So thank you. Okay, so next up, we have domain disputes solved with general competition law. We have Jens. Welcome. That's a feature of our meeting this week.
Am I the latest one? Okay, I'm the last one. That's good. I won't be long. When I was thinking what picture should I put up on my presentation, and I was just doing this, I think, on what is it today, Wednesday? Must have been Saturday or Sunday. My flight was early on Monday morning. So I just looked up from my computer on my desk in my office in Reykjavik, Iceland, and this is my view. So you can see that I have a terrific view. Now, I'm talking about dispute resolution and some legal stuff, even though I'm an economist, not a lawyer. So before I start, I just want to say, because I loved the presentation from Guatemala, the other ones were good too. thank you for the bracelet. It's very nice. You mentioned volcano. You have one, but we have about, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8. And the most famous one is what? Can anyone say the name of it? Eyjafjallajökull. Okay. Yeah. And let's just hope that one's going to sleep so we all get back home safely. Now, the ISNIC is one of the oldest registries. It's founded in 1986. And the first .is or .is domain is registered 1986, before the internet, before ICANN. And the internet took off, or the registration took off very, very slowly in the beginning, from 1989 to 2000. We only had less than 10,000 domains. And in 2006, when the new board took over the company from a telephone company that had run the registry since then, or until then, the domains weren't only 15,000. They are very, very few today, even, the 42,000. And this is quite strange when you think of it, that the .is must be one of the most beautiful .ccTLDs on Earth. But my intention here was to talk about disputes resolution. We had a dispute resolution board or people that resolved problems and disputes among registrants until 2007. Since 2007, the consumer agency in Iceland has been doing or solving all disputes among domain registrants. And this is quite interesting. We found this and we talked about this on the last Nordic registry meeting last autumn. And I thought, and I said to Gabi, if there was an interest for this lecture here, I could give it here. I'm just going to go over a case that fell in 2012 between two helicopter companies in Iceland. You might think that we don't have many helicopter companies, and of course we don't, but we have a lot of tourists that want to see the country and use helicopters to see the glaciers and to see the volcanoes. But one helicopter company had the .is domain, another one had another one just like it was the .com domain. And the dispute was between those two helicopter companies. And the case came to ISNIC, like most of them do first, and we just led it on to the consumer agency. And this is, I hope I am not going too fast. I know this is lunchtime now. The Norðurflug, established 2006, was the holder of Norðurflug.is. And they complained about the domain registrations, Norðurflug.com, which another Icelandic helicopter company registered in the United States, 2011. Now, I understand that many registers would have said, well, you would have to go with this this domain to the States. It's registered in the States. And even some American lawyers would comply to that and say all .com domains are under the legislation of the United States.
Sure.
Not so, said the consumer agency. This is a service that is intended for Icelandic customers in Iceland, so it doesn't matter what the ending of the domain is. And after that, we more or less thought we might as well close our dispute committee and let the consumer agency just handle the things, which we are, of course, very happy about. Now, this governmental agency is entrusted with market surveillance of business operations, good function and transparency of the market, and, of course, enforcement of legislation. Now, the Act itself, I just wanted to bring it to you, because it's quite new, it's from 2005. It's about this surveillance of unfair business practices, marketing, and market transparency. There's no mentioning of a domain, and it doesn't need to be. The Act is based on a section in an older Act, a Competition Act, and before the consumer agency took over this legislation or worked with it or was founded, 2005, it was the competition authorities. Now, Article 5 says in the Act, unfair commercial practices are forbidden. Well, good. This prohibition applies prior to, while, and after business and goods is undertaken and service is rendered. And now we need to know what is unfair, because it says in it, commercial practices are unfair if these violate good commercial practices. And this is obviously what happened with those two domains. The one who registered the .com domain that was exactly identical with the .is domain, he was being unfair. He was presenting himself as the other company. And I don't need to read this, but to operate a business in the name of a granting misleading information about an operator's property right or responsibility. That was exactly the law text that the people used in this case. And the fact was that there was two helicopter companies on the same market and selling the same kind of service under same kind of a name. But the ending of the name, being a .is or a .com, is not something that matters in this dispute. So the conclusion came, the use of the domain Norðurflug.com. The domain Norðurflug.com was forwarded automatically to the helicoptericeland.com, which is the website of Þyrluþjónustan, the competitor of Norðurflug. And that was Norðurflug.is. Now, that being misleading to the customers, they were misled. They are coming on the market under a domain with the instinct of to present themselves as someone else. That's a quite clear matter. And now to the conclusion of the court. It's a lower court. The registrant has violated the right of its competitor to a company named Norðurflug. Norðurflug is a specific name, a word, with private ownership, or VOL is not a trademark. And this was also an interesting thing in this case. It is not a trademark. But even so, when we asked for this at the consumer agency, what if it was not a name of a company? They said the conclusion would have been the same. Then, because the most fundamental thing is it is misleading. The registration of the domain Norðurflug.com is misleading and confusing. Oh, now I can't read it here. And the registration of Norðurflug.com is not done in good faith. That is another very, very important thing about registering a domain, as you all know, of course. And then the decision, you can read it in English or Icelandic if you want to. Fritlathunasan has, with registration and the use of the domain, nordaflug.com, violated the law number 57, 2005, Article 5 and 15A. Now, I'm presenting this here because this is one of the, or at least in Iceland, we don't have that many disputes anyway, but this one is so crystal clear that it is nice to present. It's everybody can understand it, and the lawyer of the company Thirdlithumstan, which had the .com domain, they didn't even bother to put it to a higher court. Of course not. So I'm not going to read it in Icelandic. This is my presentation. Any questions?
Thank you, Jens. Any questions? Peter?
It's more a remark, really. Thanks, Jens, for the presentation. But so a competition authority deciding that it doesn't matter whether it's a .com or .is,
yeah,
is pretty relevant when it comes to assessing the relevant thresholds for registries' respective markets. If a judge confirms that there is indeed an overlap, a significant overlap, because it's so confusing that it doesn't even matter between generic and CC names, I think that's pretty good news for all our competition lawyers. That's probably something that we should take in mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Nigel?
Following on from what Peter said, there's something actually also very interesting that should apply to all 27 member states of the European Union. I was looking at the law that you quoted, the Icelandic law, and although the English words were very slightly different, it echoed just almost exactly what's in the new, well, I say new, relatively new directive about unfair commercial practices.
Yes.
And this means that this, although it's not a binding decision, it's an executive decision of some kind, it's very persuasive. It you read that and you say to yourself, well, yes, obviously.
Yeah. This law and very many laws in Iceland, especially new laws, they are a copy or a directive from the EU. Even though Iceland is not a member of the EU, it's like Norway, we are in this EES zone. So we are obliged to take up a big portion or not at all EU laws.
Okay, anyone else? No? In which case, can you join me in thanking Jens and all of the panelists for this particular session? Thank you. Okay, so the last major bit of this morning is to invite the regional organisations for their updates and presentations, please.
Okay, right. We've now rejigged the agenda. And first up, we're going to have Barak with an update from AFTLT.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Barak Otieno from AFTLD. I'll give an update. I just have one slide with four bullet points. So in March, AFTLD, the ICANN and the Internet Society, African Bureau, partnered in organizing the ICANN MIGWORKS workshop in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. That is the multi-stakeholder internet governance forum. I know most of you have heard about it in the different ICANN fora, and AFTLD is partnering with ICANN, ISOC, and the other stakeholders in implementing the ICANN Africa strategy. The other point is that we are organizing a DNS forum in the next ICANN meeting in Durban. It will be on 12th and 13th. That is AFTLD and the Internet Society, as well as its other partners. And I take this opportunity to invite as many of you who will be attending. We will be placing a call for speakers on our website, and we hope that we will get as many of you who are experts to come and join us in deliberating on how to develop the DNS industry in Africa. The other aspect is we will have a signing ceremony today with the ZA Central Registry, which is basically supporting its .Africa bid. And then AFTLD and the Nigeria Internet Registry Association will hold an advanced registry operators course in Lagos, Nigeria, from 6th to 9th May 2013, which is basically our next course in our program. But I invite all of you who will be coming in advance to the Durban meeting to attend our DNS forum. Thank you.
Okay, Barak, thank you. Short and sweet. Any questions or comments? Okay, so let's move on to Carolina, who I think another first for the CCNSO is presenting a center and LACTLT. Are you just doing LACTLT? Somebody will tell me what's going to happen in a minute.
This is just a very brief update from LACTLD, and then, yes, Jan will be presenting this joint survey. The first piece of news is that we held, for the first time, we organized something with a joint member that both Center and LACTLD have in Barcelona, .cat. And so it was a really sort of very interesting first experience of organizing something jointly with one of our common members. And these are some of the facts about that workshop. And we really look forward to more of these joint, exactly, cross-regional workshops. I mean, there's a lot to gain from that. We also, since December in LACTLD, we started with a new process of producing more news and information for our members. So in that respect, we launched the first issue of the LACTLD report, which is online. And we are not using it just as a tool for dissemination on LACTLD side, but for our members to distribute it and engage with their own communities. They can print it, they can download them, and they can use it as material for their local engagement. And we are also producing now monthly e-newsletters for our members, and some of you are already receiving them in the GA list. We're having a fifth policy workshop under GA in Medellin next month, so that'll be probably the most important event for our community this year. Although we are planning to host further workshops, this is the most important GA, and we're looking forward to that. And finally, this is a piece of news for this afternoon. We are having the ICANN-LAC engagement regional strategy. It's still a draft document, which we have to update, work on it a little bit more during the following month. But it'll be presented today, this afternoon at 16:30. So we look forward to. We don't want to compete with CCNSO, and I'm afraid I won't be able to stay at the council meeting just for the first 10 minutes. But it's a very important work that many organizations of the LAC region have engaged since December in this work. LAC TLD included, LACNIC, ISOC, local chambers, and ISP associations. So it's a really joint regional effort, which we are proud of as a regional organization to have been included in that work. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolina. Any questions or comments, please? Paulus?
Yeah, just very brief. In the development of the regional strategy in Africa, there arose the issue of whether AFTLD should sign an MOU with ICANN. And we told them that this is already covered under the bylaws and that it was really necessary. I don't know if it arose in the LAC TLD.
No, it definitely hasn't been an issue up to now.
Okay, anyone else? All right, okay. Thank you, Carolina. And now on to Jan. And I think you're presenting the joint survey results. Yes.
Excellent. First, I would like to welcome everybody to Beijing. Welcome everybody to our region. I hope you all having good time. Enjoy the meeting. Meanwhile, enjoy this historical city a little bit. Don't tell me you didn't go to Forbidden City after ICANN Beijing meeting. It's only 5 minutes away by taxi, by the way. So since this is our region, so today actually I'm going to representing this A-level survey report on behalf of all regional organizations. Actually, I'm very proud because this is, first time in our history all the regional organization, joined this survey, so it's quite honored, for me to represent the,
Eduardo was saying that Africa is not yet.
Yeah, not yet. As I said, in December last year, FTLD, APTLD Center, and LAC TLD all published the same set of questions to their full members, the A-level survey. But unfortunately, due to the timing issue, we won't be able to put the data from FTLD in this report, but all the data will be included later on. So on this presentation, I'm just going to talk about the data from three regions. The survey contains 70 questions on a broad range of topics such as legal structures, registration policy, pricing, registrar interaction, data protection, who is, IDNs, and DNSSEC, etc. Across the three regions, a total of 86 registry operators took part in this survey. I think many of you in this room actually participated in this survey. I would like to thank you all, for the effort. You could see 86 CCTLDs in this survey represent a big significant proportion of all CCTLDs, you know, globally. So it's a really a meaningful survey. The strong conclusion we got from this survey, despite the you know big geographical language and the cultural differences, CCTLD operators around the world have a lot in common. This slide actually are going to show only a selection of responses from the survey that were the most similar across the regions. So for the you know profit or non-profit, you know most of CCTLD managers you know are non-profit. You know in AP region is 75%, in center is 80%, and in you know LAC-TLD is even 90%. Most registries, you know, on the registration period, most registries offer the same types of registration period, with the most common period being 1 year. You know, some offer, you know, multiple options. For the, in each three regions, most registries have, you know, over 70% have a list of prohibited or sensitive names. In each region, the top two categories of prohibited sensitive names are displayed around with this percentage of registries that include a significant specified category on their list. So you could probably you know see it on this slide. The most common category was geographic names, you know, on the list. Also, about the registration policy, you know, most of them, you know, serves as a first come, first serve. So for the DSSEC implemented, actually we categorize them, you know, in three, you know, in three category. The dark green is DSSEC offered. In the middle, actually, is a DSSEC not offered, and the lighter green is DSSEC in planning. So you could see from you know, AP region is either you know either the DSSEC is already offered or in planning. In center is almost you know also you know either you know offered already or you know in planning, and only a very small portion, like 8%, is you know not implemented, also not planned to implement. For LAC-TLD, it's a very average you know on each category. So other observations from the survey: percentage of members who offer direct registration in LAC-TLD is 70%. In AP-TLD is 30%. In center is 50%. Across all three regions, there are just three registries who act as registrars for TLDs as well. Percentage of members which take less than 1 hour to have a registered domain name visible in DS in AP-TLD is 53%, in center is 61%, and in LAC-TLD is 75%. The relationship with ICANN, also the relationship with CCISO. Most CCTLD have exchange letters. About half of membership has you know has exchange letter. You know you probably could see the details from this this chart. And also the relationship with the CCISO, our members actually are CCISO's members too. So that's a brief of the observation from the survey. You want to go back? Sure. that's pretty much all, you know, summarize the similarity among all the CCTLDs across three regions for now. Actually, we're going to have a final report, you know, including FTLD data. So that's going to be shared across all the regions later on.
Okay.
That's it for this survey report. Thank you all for attending this survey, and thank you all for hearing me out. I have to, you know, make it interest to stop you running to the lunch.
That's fine. We have plenty of time, Jen. Well done. So how can people access the reports, please, particularly if maybe they're not currently involved in the regional organizations?
Because for now, actually, we only publish our survey report for our members.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if for non-members, you know, to access those report, probably
you need
know,
to be a member.
We're going to discuss it.
Okay.
Those are the benefits of membership.
I was waiting for that. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions or comments, please, on that one?
Back one slide, please. In this chart of ICANN relationship, which kind of relationship is other? Because it's not letters, not formal, not no relationship, not accountability framework. What kind of relationship is included in that group? If you remember now, if not, it's...
All actually I could think about, you know, either exchange letter or formal contract or accountability framework. But, you know, probably, you know, just some members select as, you know, others. So actually I'm not very sure. Yeah.
Maybe it's just people who come
answer
and
haven't
signed
question.
Anything.
Yes.
Maybe we need to ask the others who put other. Anyone else? Okay. In which case, can you join me on thanking all of the arrows for those updates? Okay, so we're almost there at lunch. We have a lunch sponsor update. SIDN have very kindly agreed to sponsor lunch for us, but I can't see Roloff. Have we lost Roloff? That's unfortunate. Okay, okay. Maybe he can say a few words. Maybe he's cooking lunch. I'm not sure. Okay, so lunch is very kindly sponsored by SIDN. If we can find him, we'll get him to say some words after lunch, perhaps. And lunch today is just next door to where we were yesterday. It's in Ballroom 3 of the hotel, which I got wrong yesterday. Tickets are needed and will be given out at the back. As yesterday, we have limited tickets, I'm afraid. So rush to the back, and we look forward to seeing you over lunch and back again in this room at 2 o'clock.
We can't go into lunch until 1 o'clock.
Oh, sorry. Lunch is... Roloff must be cooking lunch. Lunch is at 1 till 2. Thank you.